All right, we're good. 5:68. Everybody got a drink?
Yeah.
After I'm done making sausages, I'll have a drink.
Okay.
Sausages first.
Wait, are you making sausages while podcasting?
I've done it many times.
Well, I didn't know. Now I feel offended. We should be focused on this show and nothing else.
Tony consistently plays Madden during the show.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure you've said you've played Fortnite during
the show. You know what? This isn't about me. This is about Tony.
My lack of focus.
All right. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 568. I am Chris. As always, joined by the sausage maker, Tony.
My sausage is the key to this podcast.
All right. Okay. Paul is here as well.
I'm on the phone with HR as we speak. So.
And Jeff is our HR department, so...
I like that Jeff goes ass and he always has something to work with, and he's just like
and then I break him. That's my goal.
Another week in the books. We're getting closer to the end of the year, and there's I guess these are the big blockbuster holiday games are starting to come out now, so
It feels like it is, but it also feels like nothing's happening at the end of the year. Like, I guess you get like, yeah, because you get your Call of Duty. There's not even an Assassin's Creed this year.
No,
I think Battlefield is out at some point.
Yep.
It's like, is that the 13th or something like that?
The 19th.
Okay, so it's like a week after.
I don't know.
Everything.
The only things that matter to me, really, the only thing that really matters to me is Grand Theft Auto, sadly enough, which is old shit. But then Forza Mario. Yeah, I mean, it's just Forza, like, I know what I'm getting. It's just always really good, you know?
Okay,
yeah,
I will just say, there's an irony in saying that right after saying you're excited for GTA, which are literally games you know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Those are 20-year-old games.
It's just like Forza Horizon is just so consistent that it's just like I know I'm gonna like it, but I'm not like, oh my god, like, you know, it's just,
and like straight up to the point of consistency where I think like Forza 3 scored 91, Forza like Metacritic wise, Forza 4 was like 92, and then I think what Forza 5 is like hovering at like 91, 92 as well.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, 4 is a 3, I guess, to me, kind of felt like a step up from 2, but, like, 4 just felt like another one, you know? And so I'm not expecting anything crazy out of this, but I don't know. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised going into it with that.
I mean, there's going to be lots of races, lots of cars, lots of jumps, lots of stuff to go explore.
I will also say, and I think this, you know, I think this comes up, because Chris mentioned it, and this comes up at the time of the year, is that there are certain games that, not that people don't count them as games, but they're not seen in the same light as like a big story-driven adventure open world title.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Forza is a prime example of one of those games. Like you said, it's consistently one of Microsoft's best reviewing. It's probably their most consistent franchise at this point.
Yeah.
But it's never thought of or talked about in that way. And that kind of goes...
I think it should be, kind of, though. Like, yeah. There's a chance it does really well for us, at least this podcast this year. I don't know. Yes. Everyone seems pretty into it.
It's very, very possible this time around that someone might have changed their mind on certain
the entire genre. Yeah.
Somebody that's been like, oh, Jesus Christ, Jeff and Chris are talking about games again.
Oh, fuck.
You know what's crazy, though, is it's been a pretty good year for racing games. Like, at least,
yeah,
you know, you got that and Hot Wheels, and that cruising game, from what I hear, is really cool. It's
supposed to be good.
You had it.
What happened?
I thought you had the cruising game.
No, I have the Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels is good. Solid.
Yeah, I want both of those as well. I mean, like, there's only so much racing you can do, though, so it's like a we'll put that he you know, and into the group chat was like, Hot Wheels is on sale, so I'm like, I can wait, I can get it down to like $30.
And you're getting like the best racing game for free, basically. So
yeah,
I had to delete fucking Flight Simulator. It hurt. But I was just like, you know what? That's the
you needed those 130 gigabytes.
Yeah,
you do, because Flight Sim is like ridiculously large.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also deleted it, but I installed it on my PC.
Yeah,
Where there's more room. So
I don't know. Did you install Age of Empires 4? Because that is
I did install Age of Empires 4,
but probably not the 4K. Pack of
no, I just installed whatever install it.
I was like, oh, you want me to add like another 80 gigs to my install optionally so that it looks slightly better?
Yeah, my SSD doesn't have, I think my SSD on my PC is only like 500 gigs or something like that. So it's like I have Flight Sim actually installed on a regular, like, external hard drive, and the load times are fucking atrocious. But once it gets into the game, it's fine. But I wanted Age of Empires. I just want to like try it out. I probably won't play a ton of it. So, speaking of which, though, Tony, you have played a little bit of Age of Empires, yes?
I have. It offended the game. Offended me first off. That something happened at the beginning. Like, I like to, when I get a new strategy game, I don't like to play it right away. I like to watch the intro video and then maybe play it at my leisure another time. So I started the game and it dropped me into the fucking tutorial. I hate that.
There's no like intro video.
There's no intro video. It's just like, okay, oh, and here we are. You're now playing Age of Empires. Like, fuck, this is not what I wanted to do right now. Like, I don't have time to do this. I was just hoping to watch a little movie and be done. But from what I've played so far, it is like very classic Age of Empires play. You know, you have your little town center, you build your other buildings so you can, you know, collect wood and whatnot, and you build barracks and archery ranges and stables and all that is pretty core to the series. One interesting thing they did, so when you move up between eras, now instead of like doing a research project at your town center, you actually build a building, which provides like benefits, or is a castle so it shoots arrows or something. So it's an actual thing that adds like heft to your, you know, empire, which I thought
it's not just like spend 500 stone and 500 wood and right, you can now build newer, better stuff.
Exactly. It's you literally get a thing, like one of them is like a cathedral that heals people when they're close enough to it. So it's like an actual thing that does stuff, which I like. I appreciate that. What I don't know is if someone comes and destroys it, do you like move back in there? I don't know what happens.
That wouldn't be good.
I'm guessing you move forward permanently. So I played through the tutorial and then I started the Norman campaign. There are, I don't know how many campaigns there are, but the Norman is like the introductory one, but it's the Battle of Hastings, 1066. So it really harks back to, you know, me as a person, at least a human being. It starts off with the Battle of Hastings, and you're literally like in a battle. Like, it's not even like classic Age of Empires gameplay in the initial battle. You're literally like just hurling troops up a hill at an enemy. And when your troops die, the game just gives you more troops. So you fight this massive battle. The game gives you like all this historical backstory, which it's like a history lover's dream. It really is. It like goes through like everything that happened. You get like a whole like synopsis of like where everybody was in 1066 and who was fighting and why. And like it actually includes video of the places where the battle was fought. In these, you know, true life videos, like the real places, they're like adding the figures from the game into the videos. So like you're seeing these like computer generated men fighting on a battlefield. It looks really cool. And each campaign scenario includes a new like historical video of like the sacking of York, and like the same thing where it goes through like this is York and shows like all the terrain around York, and it just looks super cool. You could tell they put a lot of time into like making the game feel connected to history, which really really appealed to me. I've only played through the first couple of campaign missions. I definitely want to play a lot more. It is classic AOE gameplay. They've done some things to make it more modern. So like, you know, if you assign a bunch of units to a group, now that group appears as a number thing that you can click on the screen at any time. And you can like have a list of your groups all there. It's kind of makes it easier to manage your troops. But it's got a bunch of like quality of life improvements that they've had over time. So far, so good. I'm enjoying it. It's nice. It looks great. Sounds great.
It's developed by Relic, right? Or partially by Relic?
Yes, yes. People who know strategy games.
Yeah, they and specifically like RTS games. So
yeah,
good. I want to try it out. I've always found Age of Empires to be harder than other RTS games. Like, I don't know what it is. And like, even if you're playing on like the lowest difficulty, it still feels harder than like StarCraft and you know, Command and Conquer. I think it's just because it's part of it is like the city building is so important.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, all right, I'm going to, you know, put 1,000, you know, you can't do 1,000 because they think they cap it at like 200 or whatever. But
yeah.
I'm going to build as many like small people as I can. And we're just going to go and attack everything, and I'm just going to keep building them and keep attacking. And you can't really do that. There is a strategy to Age of Empires.
Yeah. Plus you need to like pay really close attention to how you build things and like walls and gates and tower. Like there's a lot to.
Yeah. But I do want to try it. It's like all in 3D now, right? Like, like the way the map looks, like it's still overhead or isometric or whatever, but it's like 3D modeled and everything, so it's kind of neat. I want to take a look at that. All right, let's see. I guess one of the other big games last week was Mario Party, and both Earl and Jeff have played some of that.
Yeah, oh, they're asleep right now, though. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no, I was like, I see if Jeff wanted to go first, because Jeff tends to have stronger opinions than I do.
No, I mean, I think you got the true Mario Party experience. I just tried it single player, which is lame. I mean, it's a good game, but...
Yes, I mean, first off, I will also say, I think it's, I think they've done a good job, even since the Wii U, of, like, really kind of knowing the Mario style. Of like just having this really clean art style that really pops in HD, and I think this one's a really good, solid looking game. I mean, I say good looking because then people can take offense, but yeah, I think it's a really nice looking game. The other thing I was surprised by is just how much I think Nintendo actually got it for once with this game in terms of like actually having competent online setup for it. So yeah, I guess I played two matches online with friends in a group of four and a group of three. We played a variety of matches and modes, and I mean a variety of boards, I should say. So yeah, it fixes a lot of issues that Super had with online, which was added posts. So like every turn it saves, if somebody's disconnected, it will just. If somebody disconnects, it will just like put a CPU in their face instead of ending the game, and they can rejoin and they will just take control of that character again. If it, you know, like say a game of eyes, a game like I did a what is it? I did it 15 and a 20 turn. The game tells you like I think 20 turns supposed to take an hour, 15 is supposed to take like 45 minutes. The first one takes 15 turns takes about an hour and a half. 20 turns takes about 2 hours. So yeah, got a lot of Mario Party done in that time. But So when you know, so you it's pretty basic. Obviously, you join your people, and it treats it like it's a single player. Treats it like you're playing Yokuri, which is a weird thing at first because you have to you go back into the main menu, and it looks weird. Okay, that's not important. The game remains. Yeah, I've been trying to explain everything. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It remains super fun. It's Mario Party. It's random as hell. But like, I think they do a good job of actually having the boards have somewhat unique gimmicks. With like the ones I played, they're all the maps. So like Space Jam has a giant counter in the middle. When you go through it, it will count down. And once somebody goes through it five times, anybody in the way of the beam will lose all of their coins. The Woody Woods one has a gimmick where it essentially goes, what is it? Oh yeah, basically every turn, the route changes directions, so it would alternate. So you also have to kind of account for the fact that like if you're panning to for something, you might want to actually roll less or more, depending on how far you are from the turning point and the star. So again, there's a bit of strategy in it. The key thing for any Mario Party is so far the mini games have been a great mix of some really classic Mario Party ones. You know, the classic this is Compete BS and nobody can win this one unless you have like some type of cheating controller. And ones that are just like, yeah, I remember this. This is fun. This is quick to pick up. This lasts all of 5 or 10 seconds. The game is full of that Compete and utter BS, which is somehow my friend ends on the space and it gives them a free star. I end on a Bowser space. He takes one of my star. The computer is dumb as hell, so it's going to just do whatever it wants and it makes no sense logically. But yeah, I mean, so far, I think it's just been a great encapsulation of, I think, what people wanted Mario Party to evolve into in terms of having boards that are complex but not overly random. Like, there's an element of strategy to it. But there's also just as many opportunities for it to just screw you over because it wants to. Fun mini games. There's 100 or so in there. So far, I've not really run into many duplicates, which is good. I think for me personally, really, I've always just wanted online to evolve in such a way. And I think this is really what I wanted it to be in terms of being able to just get the characters. You know, getting the characters and getting the experience without any lag, without any weird, you know, like if one person's losing or they call BS and they quit out, you don't lose the entire hour game and stuff like that. And yeah, so I think it's a ton of fun. It's worth the $60 so far.
Nice.
Jeff,
you've only played the single player.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Earl's saying. I mean, it's good boards, good mini games, good graphics. There's online now. I mean, it kind of hits everything that you'd want. Like, big one for me. You can play with a fucking pro controller now. Like, the last one on the Switch forced you to play with Joy-Cons, which I fucking hated because you always have, like, those bad ones that drift and whatnot.
Okay. Not ironically, but also funny enough, you can also play with the N64 controller.
Oh, cool. And just one other thing that I've noticed so far in the few games I've played that I liked is at the end of the game, you know, this is where like people really get fucked over in Mario Party. They hand out the bonus stars. So you could go from person that's losing to potentially winning. And there's a whole bunch of different bonuses that they'll pull from, but you can set it to the classic bonuses. So that way, like, you know what to expect out of the bonuses, which I forgot what they are exactly. It's like,
it's mini games, it's the most coins, and it's whoever ends on lucky, not the event space the most.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have it on that classic setting, I mean, the person that does the best probably will come out on top because, you know, if you win the most games, you know, There you go.
Well, it doesn't mean you get the most, but yes, but I will say my counterpoint to that is I thought I would prefer that too. I actually prefer the other one because, and this is very stupid, I prefer not knowing, like not being able to game my way into like, okay, it's like final five turns. I'm going to make sure I end on a bunch of chance spaces or something like that. Again,
I do kind of like the surprise of like, wait, what? And I'm like, you know, the other way adds to the chaos, which is kind of the point of Mario Party. But
yeah, and then it benefits because it's like who ended on the most red spaces, who ended on the most. So like there are ways where like if you just had bad luck throughout the game, it can kind of work in your favor. Either way, I do like that they also at the end of the game. I think this is something that Super did as I think other ones have done it, but they also give you just a complete breakdown of like everything, like who ended on the most blue spaces, who ended on the most green spaces, who took the most steps, who took the least amount of steps, who collected the most coins from mini games, it's weird. The mini game one does account for who wins the most mini games, but they actually don't show you who the number of mini games somebody wins. So that's the one that's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. If you've never, like, I can't believe, Chris, you said you never played this series, ever.
I've never played a Mario Party game.
I mean, this is the perfect one to get. This is like, what, you know, the greatest hits. Like, if you're an old fan, also a perfect one to get. You know, they kind of nailed it with this.
Nice. I'm sure it'll never go on sale, but I'll keep an eye out. I'm sure it'll go on
sale once or twice. It's Nintendo. You'll find it like one day for like 5 minutes, for like $40.
Well, I will keep an eye out for it and maybe force my children to play it with me one day. It's another new game. Lots of new games this week. I got Riders Republic and have played a bunch of it. That game is a lot of fun.
I don't believe you.
It basically smashes up Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, and California into like one map and takes like a bunch of the national parks. I think it's like seven of them or something like that. And like Yosemite and Zion and Sequoia and Grand Teton, like they mash them all together, and it's just this one giant map that you can ride a bike, ski, snowmobile, jet. Like there's even like this weird thing. I think it's I'm trying to think of what the device is called. It's like a jetpack almost, though. So, rocket wingsuit is what I'm seeing here.
I saw a clip of that on Twitter.
So ridiculous. Like it's basically you have a jet strapped to your back and you can fly anywhere. There's also like wingsuits and snowboards and there's like street bikes and mountain bikes, and there's also a snowmobile you can get, and that'll like help you transport around, and there's like plenty of fast travel as well. Like, I think a lot of the complaint about it is like the campaign is a little like the guy who like is your mentor is very much like, yo, bro, like, what's up, man? Like, whatever, who cares? Like, I just want to like go do the rides. Like, and he doesn't interfere that much. Like, I just want to go and hop down and do races and do tricks and stuff. And like, he shows up like once every once in a while when you hit like a major milestone. Otherwise, it's just like you exploring the map. It's very similar to something like Forza Horizon, where there are stunts to go do. You can get extra stars there, and stars are kind of how you progress in the game. And there's also like Forza, there are like landmarks and stuff you can go see. I think they're done worse than Forza. Like, I kind of like when you go to Forza and like you hit the landmark and it gives you this like nice cinematic look and pulls back and your car is there and your driver is standing outside the car and gives you this nice like picturesque look. And this is just like, you know, here's the thing that you pulled up to. We backed it up in photo mode. And it gives you like a little breakdown of like what you're looking at, but you know, whatever. It's like fun to collect shit. So that's mostly what you're doing. Like, oh, here's another thing on the map. What is it? Let me go see what it is. I've been mostly doing the mountain bike racing career. There are multiple careers for each of the different disciplines. So there's like biking, race biking, trick biking, snow racing, snow tricks, and then the flying one. And then like you need to kind of max out all of them, and then you get like the ultimate, whatever the ultimate challenge thing is. It's like this invitational thing that you'll go compete there. Unlike something like Steep, when I was playing Steep, like I played it well after you played it, Jeff, and after Sean played it, and like I would go in and like you guys had scores there for me to see. I don't see that here. Like I don't see, like I know Sean's been playing it, like I haven't seen like, oh, Sean did this in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, like can you beat that score? So I haven't seen any like any other riders' scores. So I don't know if like that's just not it. Like also it's not like, oh, you didn't finish first in this, so fuck you, like you have to redo it until you do. It's like, yeah, you did this race, here's a star, and it like checks it off your list. And then it gives you alternate objectives to go back and do if you want, like do 7 different tricks while on this course, or finish in under 2 minutes or whatever, or beat it on, like there's 4 different difficulties, like, or beat it on them. But, and they have like different star values attached to them. But I haven't seen anything that's like, you know, beat Jeff on this course or whatever, like I did in Steep, which I think is weird. Like that's normally like a big draw of extreme sports games. Like, can you get more points on this than your buddy? Or can you beat this their time down the slope? Game looks great. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The one thing I hate about it is that it has fucked up achievement scoring.
Oh god, where, is that like the one, yeah, that like one six, point and 3 points.
16 points and 32 points are like the majority of them. And there's like a bunch that are also 70 points. But so like if you get a 16 point achievement, you have to get like 4 more to even that shit out, or get 2 32 point achievements.
Like I assume that's part of their plan, but like it never works out because it's like such odd number. Yeah. And it's like you have to get the right combination.
Yep.
Or what happened with me is like, okay, I got enough where it's kind of like it breaks even. Not going to play your game anymore to break this count anymore.
Yeah, because like finding those weird odd achievement points somewhere else to like even your score back out. I know it's so stupid. It's like, who cares? But I like have that. I have this crazy thing when I see my score, like I want it to have a 5 or a 0 at the end of it.
Yeah.
So I don't like that. But everything else about the game has been a blast. There are one of the wheels. So there's lots of multiplayer modes, and they have a slew of like different things you can do where it's like, it's almost kind of like, what's the Splatoon, right? Where you're painting the map. So like you're doing tricks on the map, and, like the higher points you get on the tricks, like your team takes control of that area, but then like another, what was that?
Like graffiti on Tony Hawk.
Yeah, just like that. Like, so it's like you, like they're doing it there, and like you're taking control back and forth. It's like a pretty cool mode. But the one that I'm really like, and I'm terrible at it. I've not finished above like 40th in the races, but it's a 64 person race that is, it's like a triathlon. So it's three different heats, and you just start at the, like you start at the beginning, like you might be on like skis with rockets on them, or you might be in a wingsuit going down the mountain, and you got to do these like 3 different heats. And they give you like placements and you get points for them as you go along. It's a pretty cool thing, especially because there's collision on all of them. So at the beginning of it, it's just massive insanity where people are just like bumping other people off cliffs. And fortunately, it has like a rewind button, just like Forza.
Oh, yes. Rewind
button. But like that doesn't work normally in multiplayer modes in Forza. It works here. It'll rewind you back, but it doesn't stop time like in Forza. So everybody else has moved forward. It just corrected you, gotten you back on track, and then you can kind of reset your position and get back into the race, which is really helpful. Like, it doesn't screw anybody else up, but it does allow you to fix, like, I veered way off course or flew off a cliff. I can now put myself back. Like, it's pretty neat. I don't know. Like, if you're not into extreme sports, or Jeff, I know you said you had issue with the controls in Steep. Like, I
think
the snow stuff here is pretty much lifted directly from that. So,
yeah, like
40% of this game is that. So if you didn't like the controls there, it might not be for you. But like, I'm really enjoying it. Like, there's not a lot of games that you can play with bikes. It's like, I can't, what was it, like Matt Hoffman's like BMX or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, and back on the PlayStation 2.
And then they did the
BMX Triple X.
Yeah.
Like that, they tried to make bike games a thing like back then, but
had to make them sexy things.
Wasn't there some bike game recently on like the Xbox you were all about too?
It was like a mountain biking game, but it was like super abstract. Like, this is way more like detailed and realistic. Although I wouldn't say realistic. You can get yourself one of those blow up dinosaur suits as an outfit, and like that can be what your character uses, which is just absurd. Like, you can be going down a mountain on a bike in like a blow up dinosaur outfit or a giraffe outfit. Which you might want to use because the character creator kind of sucks. Like, everybody comes out of that looking not great. So you might want to like use like stupid costumes and shit, but it's also monetized to hell. Like, there's like every day there's like new shit you can buy in it, like new skins. And I don't have any interest in any of that, but I guess if you're into that, like, it's there. So anyway, seems really cool. I'm going to keep playing it. I think I've already put like 6 or so hours in, and I'm not done the bike racing like part of it. So I still have like another 4 campaigns to go or whatever before I unlock the end. So like, it's a beefy game. All right. Let's see. Let's stick with extreme, Jeff. Tell us about Hot Wheels Unleashed. What more you've played of that?
Not really much to add, and I've not played a ton of it. It's weird. It's like this game that like it's always on the side and on the back burner, and then when I go play it, I'm like, God damn, this is good. And then like I just go back to the main game I'm playing. But
it's a good side game, though, right? You go and play a race or two, and
yeah.
Yeah.
But I was trying to get my girlfriend to play Mario Party, and she fucking hates Mario Party.
Oh.
So she's like, I'll do anything else. So I was like, all right, let's try this. So got her to play Hot Wheels Unleashed split screen. I guess there's only two like really interesting, or not even interesting, but points of noteworthy things about it, but one is it's multiplayer friendly on the Xbox. You could just connect a controller and that person can play, and that's it. No bullshit, no fucking no signing into an account, whatever. It's just fucking, there's a second player.
Nice.
Problem is finding that mode. It's hidden in the menus. I was like, I kept like looking at the game info in the store, and it's like, it says there's split screen. I'm like, where the fuck? I go into multiplayer, and the only option in multiplayer is fucking playing online. I'm like, okay, I almost gave up. I like looked up a video of someone playing it split screen. I had to like pause it and like look real close at my phone. Like, what the fuck is, you know, what did they select to start this? You have to go to like, there's like a tab at the top that says quick modes, and like that's where the split screen is. I don't know why it wouldn't also be in the multiplayer part of the menu. Like, I don't know. That seems like an obvious place to put a multiplayer mode.
Maybe too obvious.
Multiplayer, yeah. So if you have the game and you're like thought there was no split screen, there is. It's just under quick modes or quick matches. Some tab at the top. It was fun. She seemed to enjoy it. Like, she seemed to get it right away. And you know, you tell someone it's like your toy, you could fall off the track, and then they get it. And it's, but yeah. The problem is you fall off the track and you have to hit Y, like hold down Y to get like reset onto the track. You are fucked at that point. You're in 12th place, you know. Yeah, still a really fun game though. Not really much else to add though, other than that.
All right. Got a real quick update on Alien Isolation, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. That game is, that the alien in that is freaking terrifying. because once it sees you, like you are screwed. Like, it is fast. It comes and grabs you and kills you. At one time, I was like using the motion tracker to kind of see where it was, and I kept it up, and it ripped the, I was hiding in a locker, and it ripped the door off the locker and killed me. That was like, all the kill sequences in it are terrifying. Also, it's fucking hard. the alien is like relentless, so it's been very slow moving in that game. Like, you're doing a lot of just like slowly moving under tables and hoping that the alien isn't anywhere around. You can hear it, but like, it's once it's in an area, like it's kind of always there. And it can pop up anywhere too. Like, you could avoid a vent that you see like the saliva and stuff flowing out of, which you know that if you walk under it, he's gonna grab you and kill you. But you can like go into a room across from it, and all of a sudden, like, he pops down, or he's like comes in through the door. So it's kind of like unrelenting, and I can only play it in like small doses.
That sounds like coward words.
Yeah, it is. It is a tense ass game. Like,
it fucking nails that. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I will say, like, I think like the aesthetic of it all looks great. Like, it definitely captures that. It captures what the everything in those movies look like, especially the first, the first one. But I am starting to see like, oh, go to the living, like you have to go to the living quarters and find like a key card or something. And now like you're on the base. It's like, well, this looks exactly like the ship that I woke up in, which looked exactly like the Nostromo from the movie. It's like they're obviously just reusing some of the areas and pacing them together. But I think overall, like, does a really good job of being a terrifying one of those types of games. I just wish you could escape from the alien, like an Outlast. Like, you can run away and escape. Like, once the alien has like a bead on you, you're done. At least right now, like, I don't have anything to fight back or push back with. Like, I don't have a flamethrower.
Yeah, I think I think you get one.
I have like a pistol, but like that seems like it will not be very effective. So yeah, I assume at some point like they'll give you something to fight back with.
But yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I don't think you could ever kill it, but
yeah, it never becomes aliens, right? Like, you're not doing that, but it'd be nice to just be able to like push back a little bit and give myself a little bit of breathing room, because the game kind of like wants you to explore, but also like if you explore too much, like the alien is going to get you. And So it's, there's this weird whispery word to it that it's like, all right, I'm not going to explore. I'm just going to try and get to the next location. And that's another piece. Cause like, if you fail, it brings you back to your save. Like, there's no checkpointing. So it like brings you back to your save. And the save, I mean, it's like where it's save points. So there's these things on the wall you can save at, and that's where it knocks it at. So it's not like, all right, I'm like safe here. I can like quick save. And maybe this is something on the PC where you might be able to quick save, but on the Xbox, you cannot. There's no like, all right, I'm going to save here and try to make a run for it. And maybe I make it, maybe I don't. But if I don't, then like I can just go back to my quick save. Here it's like, if I'm going to try and make a run for it, it's like, you failed. And now you have to do like the 20 minutes you just spent previously over again. That's frustrating. Makes you be ultra conservative in how you approach moving around the map, which does make it terrifying when the fucking alien sees you. You're like, no. Real quick, because I know none of you give a shit about hockey. Played NHL 22. I do.
I played the NHL games, the career mode, a little bit before.
The be a pro mode.
I suck at it. I am bad. But, like, I can get, like, you know, 60 shots on goal in a game and maybe get one or two of them in.
That's good. And super realistic.
Totally. It's like 20 shots on goal per period. Like, oh. One snuck in, yeah, because I have no idea what I'm doing, so I'm kind of just flinging the puck, and occasionally just get lucky.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, it is just kind of like throw it at the net. That's like one of the first things you learn in when like you're being coached in hockey is just like, if you're in doubt, just like try and shoot it at the net, like try and hit the goalie. Maybe it'll go in.
I used to play floor hockey, and that was also my plan because I also had no idea what I was doing. Yeah. Like I was in an adult floor hockey league. Just stand in front of the net and throw the ball at it.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it works. Sometimes it'll go in.
I got a hat trick once because I was just standing in front of their bloop, tip. Bloop.
Where
I have no skills. No skills.
But yeah, NHL 22 is out. Much like Tony gets Madden every year, I get NHL every year. This is the first game on Frostbite.
That's shocking.
Yeah, because every other, I think even the NBA game, which they've released one of in the last decade,
was on
Frostbite. So like NHL was like the last one that was kind of holding out, and it is now on Frostbite. I think it looks better than it has previously. They've also like the production values are great. Like it actually looks like what if you watch a hockey game on TV, like it looks like that. Much like how Madden kind of has like that same feel. The hockey's mostly good. It does still suffer from like they moved everything to the sticks back probably late PS2 era where like you control the skater with like the left stick and the stick with the right stick. And then like you can pass by pressing the triggers or whatever. And sometimes that just doesn't work because your analog stick just doesn't like, you know, aim correctly. Or sometimes it just like redirects the puck in weird ways. It's like, that's not what I wanted to do. And you just gave the puck over. And now they're going on a breakaway the other way. So I'm still trying to like kind of work some of that out. But it does look like all the weird glitches that they've had from previous years are not there. Like used to be able to just cross the blue line and wind up and take a slap shot. And just about every time through it would go in. That doesn't seem to be there, nor is like the weird, like cross the net and the goalie doesn't understand what you're doing. So it stays pinned to the one post and doesn't move and you can shoot it into the open net there. That's not there anymore. Like the goalie actually kind of moves across with you. So I think base wise, the hockey seems really good. There's just like a couple quirks and I don't know if it's because of the engine or they made some adjustments, but it's mostly good. Some I'm just like playing through the franchise mode, which they've added all sorts of details to, where you're like upgrading bathrooms and shit for your stadium, because you're also the owner in addition to being the coach. And I think that's been in Madden before. I want to buy another, I'm gonna like add another parking lot because that'll make the fans happier. I could bring more fans in because you're like balancing the budget as well. I don't really care about any of that. I just want to play the fucking games. But I did upgrade the bathrooms. So
when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah. And now everybody in my virtual stadium can go. We played some Back for Blood this week. We still have not finished the first act in that game, but we did play some of that.
Some of us have.
Yes. I mean, as a group, like we have not. It's not combined. You and Walter are a little bit ahead of
us. That game is so much harder with four people than it is with two. It's like the opposite of every other game ever made. I can't.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, and it's like, it's brutal. Like, I named some of it maybe as those corruption cards.
Bad luck, right? But
yeah, like we got stuck with one that was. Like enemies do more damage, plus they receive less damage from you,
and you can't heal. And this is
and you can't heal. Like that was a brutal. And we're on what amounts to, I believe, is like the easy difficulty. It's like recruit.
It is the easy difficulty. But to Tony's point, I did get to play it again last night with a friend, and it is much more manageable with like two people. But also they do just kind of throw a lot of, I think the RNG sometimes is broken, where they will just throw like three tall boys at you and an exploder. And while that's going on, somebody's got like a pouncer or whatever they're called in that game will come in, and it's just like, okay. But like, okay, you have to armor the tall boys, so we also have to aim specific. Like, it wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't like you have to aim at specific points to actually do damage to people, versus okay, this is good enough. Like, we'll all aim at this guy where he's coming. It's like, no, you got to aim while you're being hounded by these zombies at like this guy's shoulder, which is only vulnerable from one side, because and he'll swing, and then it changes. I'm like, oh, this is such a pain. And then they get worse because they become armored, and it's like the armored ones can only be hit like only there, because the other ones, if you do enough, you will get through them with enough bullets. But it's like, it's still a pain in the ass. Still a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah. You know, like when we get the supply point, like when we finished, like I bought a bunch more cards, and because you get those like supply lines or whatever. And like I got some that are like pretty good, like, you know, healing will be like 40% faster and it does more when you get it. And, like, that's like good stuff to have, but like I didn't have it previously.
Right. So yeah. That initial run, I think it's pretty hard because your starter deck sucks. It is not.
Yeah. Good.
And like it, once you start getting an actual build, like, I don't know if you guys saw, like, my character's out there doing tons of melee damage, like, healing as they make melee hits. Like, once you can get like those cards all in one deck and like working together, it gets a lot easier.
The one thing I will also say, which I did not realize until I looked it up after the fact, is that also like the very first card in your deck will automatically be played. So it's also important to make sure like that's something. Like the one I have now is like plus 20 stamina, plus 20 stamina regen, plus 5 health. It's like, okay. And then that's, you don't activate it. That's just one that will automatically start off. And that, I do think, makes a difference actually knowing how your decks work. Because maybe I wasn't paying attention. I didn't think they did a super great job of expanding that.
No, I didn't know that. And I went through that. You know, you have to go through that tutorial basically to build a deck, and I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
So I can reorder my deck then. And,
would recommend reordering your deck.
I do like that, and I don't know, like I like the character I'm playing as. Playing as the doctor, like, I can like heal you guys for like a small amount, without having to use like a health pack. Like once a mission, like, so that's pretty cool. Like they do have like some neat perks. Like, I do think one of the things Walt complained about, and I wish was also kind of the same, is, you know, when you change weapons, like your attachments on your previous weapon just stay there. So it's like, well, I would like to have the four attachments that I picked up in the previous four rounds. And this gun is significantly better, but now it's like not good.
The only time that works, I've learned, is when you buy a new weapon in the staging area, because those equipped, that will then drop. But yeah, it kind of sucks because it's like, okay, I have it's armor piece ammo, and then I have like this, and it's like, yeah, you don't keep it, but this gun is so much better. It's like, no, you don't get to keep it. I'm like, God damn you, game.
Why do you hate me?
Yeah, and I think the same from Pain to Go Back, and I guess maybe there's just not enough unlockables. They are very stingy with the amount of supply points you get per stage.
Yeah.
I think by default it's like 15 or 20, and then if you do the bonus, you'll get more. And it's okay for me. It's one or the other. It's either you're gonna do that, or you like the fact that you get one continue on recruit for the entire 5 acts or 4 acts or whatever it is. And as far as I can tell, there's no way to actually increase that number. I guess you get one after beating each act. Because I guess we haven't beaten the first act.
Yeah, yet. We haven't seen that yet.
But yeah, that pains me because it seems so unfair. Because like, especially like with the boss encounters, like, I mean, we kind of know what to expect now. But like, you run into them, some of them for the first time. And like, for example, the first time we did the shipping one, like we didn't all realize, I didn't realize that like we were just supposed to run for it and not like stand there and fight. We eventually figured it out, but that means you're killing time. And it's like, you know, like, especially if you paid enough, you realize like, if you just make a run for it, a lot of the times that the enemies won't spawn on the bridge. Or like the one at the bar, which is where we ended up, not this game, but the past one. And we ended up getting overwhelmed there as well. And it's just like, yeah, you know, it'd be so much nicer if at the end of each boss encounter, it's like, okay, you get an additional knife or something. If you need it, like if one continues the default, but you make it to the end of that boss encounter, you should get a new one.
Yeah, agreed. Like when you get to the end of like whatever that set is, it's like, okay, like you could never have more than one, but we're going to replenish it here. That would be nice. At least when you do end a run, when a run is finished because you died, we did find out that like when you pick back up, they do allow you to equip a bunch of cards.
Yeah, so your weapons may suck, but at least you'll have the cards you would have had otherwise.
Yeah, the bonuses. So like that's. And we did much better on the when we did the bar this time around. Like we still almost failed, but because Walt died halfway through.
I'm still not entirely sure how death works in terms of like, because like there were times like you folks permanently died versus like times where you like, okay, it was like, okay, you're out, but I'm not really sure I got how that works.
So you can bleed out, like when you go down after you lose all your health, and unless I guess you get grabbed by one of those grabber guys, who can squeeze you to death. But you go down, and then you can be revived. If you're not revived within like the minute or whatever, you're down.
Okay. Right, but sometimes you can go down and just die.
Yeah, that's what that's what I thought. Because there were times where like somebody was like, "Oh, I'm down." I'm like, okay, well, oh, I'm dead. Like he died. He's like he was just dead.
I do wonder if Walt had already gone down once. So I do wonder if like he had already gone down. If he goes down again,
but again,
you're dead. But it doesn't explain it. You're right.
I mean, because yes, I think Left 4 Dead had something like that. But Left 4 Dead would turn like your final life into like you'd get the screen would become black and white or something to denote that it's your final life.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anything like that happens here.
No, and you can revive the player. Like, we just couldn't revive Walt in that mission, in the bar mission, because it put him in the cocoon across the street, and we had to hop a fence to get into the bar. So, but yeah, like I now have it so like I can carry, I think I can carry 3 defibrillators if I get the right card, so I can bring you guys back 3 times. And that's like an instant thing, like, because I kept doing it to Walt.
And there are some good card perks as well. Like, one of the ones I have, which I'm going to activate most of the time now, is like, if anybody goes down, the entire team heals for 25 over 27.
That one was very helpful.
Yes, because like, especially being like, if the person's down, they're usually swarmed, they're trying something, but you're also trying to get to them. So it helps to like kind of get that additional health. And stuff like that. So yes, it's one of those games where I guess they want the replayability for you to be like, you go through a run, you get far enough, you get a bunch of cards. It's essentially a roguelike, except it's not really, it's random with the cards, but like the stage out and stuff isn't that random. Like, at this point, we all pretty much can tell you exactly where to go on the first few stages because we played them enough.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, and I guess Left 4 Dead got that way too. Like, where it's like, you know what you're doing. Like, the first time through is kind of, but then it was just like, I guess the appeal of Left 4 Dead was always like, you're gonna play this over and over again. And this does have like a, you know, with the card system and supply points, it does have like a weird progression system. So there's more to it. But like, I don't know if any of us are gonna be like the ones where like once we beat it, we're going to keep playing it for, you know, just to like, we're going to get really good at this and unlock all this, all the cards. And I don't know if that's in our future.
Right. There's a bunch of other games coming out. I'm not sure that this one will.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the counterpoint to that, as far as I can tell for the rest of the year, there's not like a massive multiplayer game that we have lined up after this.
No, I mean, like,
they're getting Battlefield.
Maybe
Halo.
I mean, Halo. There's multiplayer Halo, which I will definitely be in. For,
I think of that separately. Yeah. Yes, because Halo doesn't have co-op at launch. I mean, that's changed in the last few months.
Yeah, but
I always kind of put Battlefield in like the co-op mode though, because you want to go in with a squad of people who are going to like fight next to you and revive you and blah blah blah.
But it's still like a competitive type game where like, yes, you want the squad because like you don't want to play with randoms, but it's not like you're not progressing level to level like kind of like what we're doing here or what we did with World War Z, or these all seem like zombie games that we play.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a big market for co-op shooters, and it's an easy target to kill a bunch of zombies.
True. And they are fun to kill, so
they are.
I think I need to try and like get a bat or something though, because I think Tony got an achievement for like bashing people over the head with his bat.
There's definitely one, yeah, for number of melee kills in like one match. I don't know, I've gotten it, whatever it is.
I mean, you're on your way to like getting like the 50,000 kills of zombies, and it's all going to be with a bat. So
that's right, damn straight. Some of those melee weapons are pretty good. Like, you swing them and you're hitting like 4 zombies at once.
Yeah, and again, I think that, again, if you get enough cards, I mean, you can buy certain builds and stuff like that. But yeah, you get enough cards where it's like, yeah, like you're doing that, and like you could see with you, like every hit you're doing, like you just see yourself growing because like every melee kill gives you what 2 health back or something like that. I assume it's stacks, but yes, and you get like, you know, high stamina and stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, so I have another one where I'm hitting the zombies, and every zombie I kill, it gives me more stamina. So like I could just keep swinging and swinging and swinging forever as long as I'm killing zombies.
And some of the cards stack too, right? Like you can pick them more than once. So
yeah,
that's neat.
I wish they would just know which ones don't stack, so you don't pick them over and over again.
Yeah.
Or like, I assume if they do stack, there is a problem, because I can't imagine they're gonna go in and have you doing like, everybody's like, okay, we're just going to 10% damage, 10%. And after a while, you're doing over 100% damage. So
yeah, it's like you're just instantly killing things.
The other thing that I found that not broken, but weird, is like I played, like I said, I was playing a friend yesterday, and we got we got a card and like a boss encounter showed up, and it's just like, it wasn't a mission and it wasn't a submission. I'm like, okay, so why would I bother with this boss encounter? It's just a weird game design choice.
Yeah, like there are some weird choices in it for sure. Well, we should hopefully finish Act One next time we play.
I hope so.
That's the longest act. That looks like it's almost like a little over a third of the game. So Acts 2 and 3 or 4 looks very short. So I think we'll start to make some progress here. Jeff, you finished Ocarina. Took you like a week, but you finished it.
I beat Ocarina of Time.
Again.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think I was telling you guys I'd never actually beat it.
Oh.
But there's no way I have not beat it. Cause I thought that like my memory, this is my memory. I got to Ganon and I gave up at Ganon. Okay, so the end of the game goes like this. You fight Ganondorf, then you run out of the castle as it's like falling apart, and you like run down the castle, and then you fight Ganon. The only hard part of that is fighting Ganondorf. The rest of it is like crazy easy. So like, I don't know if I gave up at Ganon the last time I played it, I'm a fucking idiot. Cause all you gotta do is fucking roll between his legs and, you know, slash away at his tail. And that's it. Very easy. But, you know, funny thing about it is, so I guess there's like the side quests you can do where you get this big ass sword and you really want that, I guess, for the end, because one, it's super powerful. And two, when you fight Ganon, they take your fucking Master Sword away. So I was like, oh shit. Like they take it away for a while. It's like outside of the arena. I'm like, So I just started rolling between his legs and whacking him with my hammer. Like, you know, one of the items that like you solve puzzles with. And it worked. It totally worked. And yeah, I don't know. That game is still, I mean, it really shows its age these days. Like, you can tell it's a very early 3D game, but despite that, it's still really, really great. It's still a really great Zelda game. I mean, I was, like you said, it took me like a week to beat this game. Clearly not playing a whole lot else besides it, which is crazy. You know, I have so many games I could play, and this drew me in again.
Good, good. Earl, did you get to play any of Wind Back?
I did, actually, because my N64 controller came in on Friday, whatever. And yes, it's I played a little bit of it, and it's very fascinating to kind of see. It's a very early kind of cover shooter. Like, you know, it gives Woolworth kind of perfected like 7 years later, just to give you a window of how far away it is from Gears. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing, and I think this is always going to be an issue going back to the N64, is that you kind of get so accustomed to do analog sticks nowadays, having like that second stick control the camera, that it's weird to kind of go back when the cameras are very stiff. Because again, it's like Mario 64 where the C buttons are used to move stuff. And like sometimes when you also can't like aim and shoot, so you have to stop and shoot. And because there's so few buttons on how you hold it, you have to put up the gun first and then shoot. And like sometimes you have to, like if you want to shoot out of cover, you have to then press the button to get out of cover, but lean into cover and then put up your gun and then shoot. And sometimes AI is much smarter than you are in that regard. But I think I want to spend more time with it. I think, you know, the story's kind of cheesy and nonsensical. And the game is very stiff, but it is a very novel game. And I'm having a little bit of fun with it. It's just, it takes a bit to get used to the controls, kind of wrapping your head about going backwards in game design.
Right. And the one thing I heard about that was like, you have to save it. You have to use
the save state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause they didn't emulate the save, port on the controller. All right, Animal Crossing 2.0.
Yep. It's back. Animal Crossing's back.
Please keep it away.
Yeah. How back is it, Jeff?
Like, it's weird, because it's like, you watch that Nintendo Direct, and it's like, it makes it seem like it's so many things that are added, but it's just like, I don't know, it feels like stuff that's kind of under the hood, or like, just small little improvements that, like, I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, you know, they added a bunch of items, great, but it's like, I don't think that's going to draw. I think it's an awesome thing for people that like play this still all the time, you know, but going back to the game now, I'm just like, okay, there's more items to get, I guess. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Okay. Like
you were done and you're like,
yeah, yeah.
To get me back.
Well, I mean, I think maybe again, cause this is my first Animal Crossing game that I really put time into, is I guess I don't understand what people wanted, because I mean,
I don't know. I didn't want anything. I was done with it.
Okay. That's what I was
gonna make. Nintendo wanted people to come back. That's what happened.
Well, it's not.
I think people that play this all the time are gonna be very happy. Like, you know, but it's just, you know, you reach your limit with the game. Everyone's got a different limit.
Yeah, like, I think everybody has a different limit, and I think what people don't understand, I think the confusion for me was like, it was because it's not like Nintendo wants people back, no doubt, but it's also people complaining like, oh, I can't, like, I've run out of content after like 600 hours, I need more. And it's like, yeah, after 600 hours, I'm kind of, I tapped out at like 200 hours. I didn't, you know, people are like, you know, they're creating stuff, they're landscaping, there was not enough, you know, we couldn't do enough ramps, we couldn't do enough bridges, so Nintendo's added more of that stuff. But it, like, to Jeff's point, it's like, you have to be hardcore into that game to care about some of that stuff. Like,
I don't do any of that stuff. Like, my town doesn't look awesome. It's just like, I put stupid shit that I find all over. Like, I don't, like, do any of that. Like, you go into some people's towns, it's like they built a fucking city. You're like, okay. You know? But for this update, like, there's two, like, pretty noticeable things right off the bat. One is they added ordinances, which is like, you can make your, like, I made my town a night owl town, so the shops will stay open later. And people will tend to stay up at night instead of be up really early in the morning. I think that's a good option to add.
Very good, especially now that people are going back to work.
But it's one of those things that would have been neat if it was there in March of 2020. It's something now where I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess the shop's open later, but like, I'm not super into this game right now. You know what I mean? Like it's drawn me back in a little bit. I'm like, I can see the charms, and you know. But the other thing is, and this is something that I think started in the DS one that people really liked. This guy will take you on a boat or whatever. Like, he sings you a song on the boat. But all it is like, you know how you can take the plane to like a rando island that has like shit on it? Like, it's the same thing. It's just taking you to an island but a different way, and he's singing you a song on the way. Like, it's... But the big thing, guys, the gyroids are back.
The what?
Gyroids.
Yeah. What is a gyroid?
It's like a creepy little figurine type thing that like will move around. Like, you could like put them in your house, or I think you put them outside. And it's just like, it'll like dance and move around like in place.
Great, like a fire hydrant with arms.
Yes.
And as I say, technically they're not back because they're in the game, but they were only in the game for construction projects.
But like, they were a mainstay from, I think, the original one, even, like, where it was like, they were one of the things that you would dig up out of the ground. It wasn't just fossils or whatever. And I always really liked them because they're creepy. And I would make a room that just had a bunch of them. They're all kind of like different looking, but they all kind of just like move around. I think they will move around to music too if you put the music, like, you know, whatever.
Again, I think part of it is because, again, with somebody who has little reference or reverence for Animal Crossing, I do know that that was something a lot of people asked for. And I think that at the Nintendo Direct, and like, they have no actual gameplay implication, they don't do anything as far as changing the game. It's just like a cosmetic that's very unique.
It's a new thing to collect.
And it seems, and it just seems like people wanted them because they were in previous games, even if they make no sense.
You could like search my Twitter. I was bitching about no no gyroids in the game when it came out. Like, there's several tweets of mine about it.
It was them, and it was what is it, Brewster? Who's like the another owl, but he's like the barista in town that people.
Oh yeah, that guy added to somewhere, right? Probably in the museum.
Yeah. And it's just like,
and it's like, you can go get a cup of coffee. Okay, what does that do? Oh, nothing.
That's what I like. Again, and I like the game, but I feel like I'm just so divorced from the fandom where it's like, okay, so you got a coffee shop. What does this do for you?
You know, what if you drink the coffee and it made you like faster for a while, or I don't know, it's just something. Like, it doesn't have to be like this huge thing, but yeah. But,
that's for Nintendo. But like, it's not like Bruce is new. He's been in the game and nothing's changed. I think
you know, they remember him from the Wii one. I think he was in the Wii one. You know?
I think in previous games you might have been able to work for him or something like that.
I think he was just, I just remember him being a coffee shop. Like, I don't, and there wasn't anything to it. It was just another, it just, you know, the game.
Definitely, he'll show up like random, like I guess at random points, like eventually and join your island. But to get him there, there's like a step-by-step list of like hoops you have to jump through to get him to come as quickly as possible.
To get who?
The Brewster guy. You have to have the museum built and the art wing complete. Get 3-star island rating. So basically you have to beat the game, because once you get the 3-star, KK Slider shows up, you get the credits. Make sure you've already donated one of every type of specimen, including a sea creature to Blathers. Not that much. Like, yeah, you've got to have one in each area.
Like, what is that? Insect, bugs. I mean, bugs, insect, butterflies, fish, and something like that. Yeah, it's not. But yeah, it seems like a lot of steps for coffee, a coffee date.
Yeah, like, and then you have to talk to Blathers. He'll tell you about Brewster. You have to talk to Cap'n, and he'll take you to a new island. And you'll find coffee him on shop? That new island.
I'm done.
And then you go back to the museum and you talk to Blathers, and then he'll show up on your island.
For a coffee shop.
Yep.
You know what I just remembered? Am I right on this? Are they adding... my connection's going to... Are they adding new songs? Like new KK Slider songs?
Yes, I believe so.
I did not know that, but I'm not going back there either.
See, there's enough little things that it's going to draw me. It's going to draw me back a little bit.
Well, I'm glad Animal Crossing is back for those that are still interested in Animal Crossing.
And I'm interested to see what the paid DLC, if that's compelling in any sort of way. Kind of doubt it for me, but I'm sure some people will love it. But I got it because I got the expansion, so I guess I'll let you know.
All right.
I mean, I guess technically I have the expansion too, but I also have to redeem my island again from Nintendo, and that's too much work.
I think that is everything we have been playing. There's a little bit of news this week. A little bit. Let's see. There were a couple game reviews that came out. Forza Horizon 5 reviews hit, and Shin Megami Tensei 5 hit. Both evidently scored really well. We talked about Forza at the top. You guys play Shin Megami Tensei?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, it's somewhat related to Persona. That's about all I know about it.
I think Persona is a spinoff of it or something. But mm-hmm. You don't mention the two together, because apparently the fandom is very sensitive about that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird, because I think IGN's article mentioned, like, it seems like a Persona without the heart, and people have gone nuts into that. So,
don't want to piss off the Shin Megami Tensei fans, I guess. Forza Horizon 5, obviously scoring very well as well. So good games coming one of which I think we're some of us are going to play.
Yeah.
Other news here. There were some delays and some cancellations. Marvel's XCOM, which Midnight Suns was the name of it.
It's the name of it. It's not dead.
It's not dead. It's delayed. Yeah, Midnight Suns is the name of it. You're correct. It's like the XCOM-ish type X-Men game that they announced. Was it at E3? I think it was around E3, right?
I think it was more recently, wasn't it?
I think it was a Sony event.
Okay. Yeah. But it's by Firaxis. It was not coming this year. I don't think anybody thought that was happening.
Well, it wasn't coming this year. It was coming March of next year. And it's to the back half of next year.
Yep.
And news that is not surprising, but is because of when it was announced. Overwatch 2 and I believe Diablo 4 have been delayed into 2023. I looked this up yesterday when this was announced. Overwatch 2 was revealed 2 years ago, like this week. It was revealed, I think, November 1st, 2019. So the earliest it's going to be out is like 3 years after the fact. Overwatch is not what I would call a story-heavy game. So it's just really weird that they got in front of that to announce it, and then it's like 4 years between announcement and release.
That seems weird. I mean, this is going to have I believe Overwatch 2 is going to have a single-player campaign, but you're right, like, not story-heavy. So, like, what was the reason in revealing it so early?
And I think the other thing, and again, I play Overwatch, is that I also think it kind of neutered the first game because a lot of people were like, I mean, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm not going to spend as much money because the new one's coming out soon.
Yep.
And that's been 2 years. So it's like, yeah, like you don't want to go back because the new one's still coming, but it's just getting pushed further and further out.
Oh, I mean, Activision out there making all the best decisions. So
these two games do seem to be, I think, one person. I think it might have been the Diablo person was pushed out due to some of their recent troubles, and another person resigned from the company. Like, the project leads are both of the games, the studio.
I mean, one of the guys that was on Overwatch, he's left. I don't know if he left previously or not, but he's the one that McCree was named after, and they renamed McCree. I don't remember what they renamed it to, but they renamed that character because it was named after a.
I gotta find his name because I remember seeing his name, and it very much reminded me of like a pro wrestling name, Cole Cassidy. That is his name.
That is a wrestling name for sure. That is a
terrible, terrible name.
That is very much now coming down to the ring. Cole, yeah, that is very much a pro wrestling name. And I guess in a bit of related news, because we are apparently quote unquote canceling everything. I didn't even realize this was out. So the Harry Potter's Wizards Unite game is shutting down. In January.
So I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah.
Like, what game? Never even heard of this.
It's the Pokemon Go type game.
Oh, well. Damn.
I feel like, again, I didn't know this game existed. I mean, I remember when it was announced, but I feel like I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know how Harry Potter fits into the Pokemon Go design. And apparently needed today because it didn't work. So
I heard that it's like Pokemon Go is maybe like too simplistic, but this is like too complex, and like that drove people away as well. Like, I mean, I think for a mobile type game where you're walking, like you need simple.
Yes.
But sorry, Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that, like, Because I think WB, because they were Portkey Games, they announced that several years ago, and I think this is the only thing that... So there was that Harry Potter RPG that was announced, I think, last year, that we've seen Hide or Hero since then. But outside of that, there's not been a ton of like Harry Potter games, even though they set up a studio specifically for that.
Yep. Anything else news-wise, Earl, that you saw?
I think those were kind of the big ones. I think we were a very bad podcast, and none of us watched the Elden Ring gameplay stuff today.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, it's 20 minutes. No, I'm not watching 20 minutes of that game.
Though I hear it looks gorgeous and very nightmare fuel for some of the enemies, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah, they're like the image on Kotaku has this like it's like, you know, like a priest looking, like a bishop type looking creature. Like he has like the vestments on. And with arms coming out of its back, and so it has like eight arms. That's pretty nightmare fuel.
I need to watch this.
But I mean, From Software has always done great enemy design, whether you know you like the gameplay or not. I think enemy design, world design has always been top notch for them. So
I saw like a very quick clip of it on Twitter. Like someone posted something. It looked like this dude like slashed like a sandworm type thing in the fucking half. Like you just saw the top half of it just go flying, and then you saw its insides. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. I need to watch this fucking video.
And that's January, right?
It got moved, I think, to February, right?
Okay.
My memory is delayed a month.
It was pushed back because that was part of this, and then there was the they're also doing like a beta or a demo sometime soon, and that was announced with the day to like February.
But not an open, like you have to register, and it's like a lottery type thing.
I want to say it's like either today or sometime very soon, but yeah, you had to like sign up and get in. I'm just gonna, you know,
wait,
play the game, but I do want to see, you know, I just want to see what the game is. So I am going to check out that video.
Well, report back to us on that, Jeff. Let us know.
Oh, yes. The other thing, the other news that was kind of really, really on the radar today. The Avengers game is finally getting the Spider-Man DLC for the PlayStation, which is announced, but in E3 2020?
Yeah. Made everybody real angry. I bet nobody cares now.
The fact that Spider-Man's coming, and like I had to, like it was announced today, and I don't think I saw any discourse on it. I just came across it earlier today, and I just saw it again when I was looking for news. It's like, yeah, he's coming at the end of the month.
Does that come with like, I mean, the other ones that they've added came with like a mini campaign.
Yeah, I think this comes with like a raid or something like that. Yeah, and then I think they also said this week, if I remember correctly, they are ditching that. Like, I think because, you know, I think we talked about it before. They patched it so the XP took longer to get.
Yes,
and then they recently had added an item you can buy in the shop to increase the XP you get from missions. People complained about that, so they're ditching that item to purchase, I believe. I also think it came out this week that Square Enix basically just threw Eidos Montreal under the bus, saying they were the wrong studio to make this Avengers game.
Sorry for no, it was wasn't it Crystal Dynamics that did it?
Oh, Crystal Dynamics, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yes, that's a familiar team.
Yes, it's their fault that you picked them to make a games as a service that they've never done before, and throw them under the bus for not having experience making this type of game. So,
well, good, that pushes them one step closer to a Microsoft acquiring them, which has been the rumor recently. So, I mean, Square out there always making the smart moves as well.
So smart.
I just saw this on that you know, looking at the news as well. Do you guys play Mafia 3?
I did.
So, you know, there hasn't been a Mafia game since then, which I don't really, that was...
The game was broken, wasn't it? It had a lot of, like, issues.
I remember it being good, like...
I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't... Well, I didn't think it was broken, but it's older. Like, I think it was, like, back in, like, 2015 or so. Like, there hasn't been a Mafia game since then. I mean, they've remastered... They remade the first one, remastered the second one last year, but we haven't seen anything from the Mafia franchise since then. And it was announced yesterday that Take-Two has canceled the next game by Hangar 13, which I guess was going to cost or has already cost them $53 million. So I don't know if Hangar 13, who made Mafia 3, is going to be around much longer.
I've always, experiments and everything. I'm just curious, how do you get to $53 million before somebody's like, this isn't working?
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's like certain companies that can do that, right? Like, I could see Rockstar like spending that amount of money and being like, this doesn't work, but that's nothing to them because when they release a game, it makes $1 billion. But yeah, like how does a smaller studio for Take-Two get like spend off $53 million and nobody at the publisher was like, this isn't looking good.
Yeah. Or I don't finance video games. Like, I don't know. Maybe in my head, I'm like, okay, we've sunk $10 million. This isn't going anywhere. But like, okay, if we put in $20 million, maybe. Okay, $30 million is getting there. Okay, at some point, I guess I just don't know, because like $50 million, just like, oh, this isn't working. That's
currently saying that they're, you know, they have full confidence in them, but we've heard that before. You know, a month after comments like that have been made, votes of confidence that those studios are being sold off or shut down. So, good luck to those at Hangar 13. I enjoyed Mafia 3. We'll see what happens, I guess. All right. I think that is everything. We're going to have some games next week. Well, at least one, because Forza Horizon 5 hits on the 9th for all of us normals. It is out there, I guess, if you've upgraded to the
I'm not Super paying Deluxe. $45 for a free game to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I may at some point invest in the DLC, but that DLC is not here yet.
Yes.
So I'm not handing over $45 for something that I don't know what it is yet.
Oh, it's out. I don't know why I thought it came out tomorrow.
It is out. I think it's either out tonight or tomorrow for those that have the whatever the deluxe version is, or if you buy the deluxe add-on content, you can play it early.
Well, I lied to my friend today.
Fire.
But yeah, it's the 9th, I believe, is the actual date.
That's too close to GTA, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, GTA. Joey, we will also have that maybe a little bit, because that comes out on the 11th. So maybe we will have touched some of that as well. Nobody here is playing Vanguard?
I don't know.
Too many things. Nope. Like, too many... I've bought Call of Duty. That's the Call of Duty, right?
Yeah, the new Call of Duty.
I've bought the last few years, but it's just... There's too many things that I'm actually interested in right now, so...
Yeah, and with Halo coming up, like and then there's, like, the whole, like, Activision sucks thing.
Giant file sizes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of things going on there that's like, I don't know, maybe next year, you know, after my Halo high has worn off, Because, like, the campaigns in Call of Duty are always fun.
Most will go on sale sometimes, too, for, like, half off.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the... I think we've had this discussion. I mean, I shared some of this today with you folks. Granted, these weren't big games. Like, there's the Nerf Revolution game, which comes out next week, which is half off on websites right now. The Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl game is more than half off right now. I think 60% off. Like, we get closer and closer to Black Friday, and it's like, I always think it's a fool errand to buy a game at full price at this time of the year, because you wait like the 3 weeks that it's going to be, and it's going to be like, you get it for $40, if not cheaper.
What are the odds on Riders Republic being?
It's an Ubisoft game.
It's definitely going to be like at least $40.
Yeah.
Because they have not upped their games to 70 either, so I bet you get it for at least a third off, if not more. Like, if you go physical, you may even be able to get it like $30 on Black Friday.
Yeah, I'm kind of against physical when it comes to games now, but
yeah,
that was kind of the plan. That's one of the only ones I'm keeping an eye on now, since you and Sean have fucking convinced me, I guess,
talked me into it. I mean, things change as well, but the other thing I would also say to pay attention to is that I think people don't realize that Black Friday isn't something that just pops up. Like, there's a lot of websites that will start posting people's deals, like, not posting the price, but they will tell you, like, okay, these games are going to be $30 on Black Friday. And if you can pay attention to that and just plan ahead, it's usually what happens. If somebody's going to have it for $30 or $25, Amazon's going to price match. Best Buy's gonna price match that. Target's gonna price match it. So it's just a matter of being patient and understanding.
Got to get on that cheap ass gamer spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like, about the spreadsheet. Yeah, yes. I hit by that spreadsheet. That spreadsheet comes out. I don't know if it started this year. It usually has all like every. Like, I usually for the movies because games are whatever. But because again, I prefer digital like you, and you don't know digital sales until Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony posted it that week. But the people will put together this spreadsheet to list a game, and it will have GameStop, it will have Best Buy, it will have Target, it will have Walmart, it will have, you know, like Fry's, it will have all these different retailers, and it will give you like, okay, this game's gonna be $40 at GameStop, this game's gonna be $35, this game's gonna be $25, and it's like all throughout November, it's updated, and there you know, and then just knowing that like Black Friday starts earlier and earlier, so I would expect to start shopping the Wednesday. And not a Thursday night.
Yep. Also, I think the Switch has it as well, but the Xbox definitely does. They have a wish list on there, so you can just kind of like favorite stuff that you want to keep an eye on. And if you go to the store and then go to lists, it'll actually tell you like you have 30 things on your list, and 11 of them are on sale this week.
Smart. So I just scroll through all 100, like 500 games every time.
Yeah, so like favorite Riders Republic, Jeff, or whatever, and then like hit your list up that week, and you'll probably be able, like, I have Hot Wheels waiting there, Alan Wake waiting there.
I would also point out, if Jeff's interested, I just looked it up. Target is having buy two get one free sale next week. So yeah, if there are games you want. I find with games, it's better to do it in person, because online people tend to... People in stores don't really care most of the time. Online, they are very sometimes picky. I say, like, these games are the ones that sells, and those would be the only ones. And it's if you are like me, you can mix and match. So you can do movies, you can do games, you can do albums, you can do board games, you can do books.
Interesting. I probably do it with movies and stuff, but now I'm like hesitant to buy. Like, I like to be able to tell my girlfriend, "Here's some things you could buy me for Christmas."
Yeah, and
buy me this Malignant movie, so I can torture you with it, fucking every year.
Is it coming out on Blu-ray?
I think so.
It better be coming out on 4K.
I know. I literally I will not buy Blu-ray anymore. I take that back. I will, but like, I'm trying not to.
Only UHD now.
Yeah, why? You know.
Yeah, I mean, if they're available, of course you get what you can get.
I mean, I guess there's certain movies I would just be like, whatever. If it was like cheap, like ultra cheap, like Blu-rays, you could get very cheap. That's the thing about it, and they do look good. So I don't know.
And I would also say I think 4K is getting that up again. Like when this comes out, because again, like I save most of my movie buying until the end of the year. Because like movies tend to be like you could get most of the big movies before like, I would say before September of this year for like maybe $10 to $15 on like Blu-ray and 4K come Black Friday.
Yeah, see, I'm just bad about just buying everything as it comes out.
Oh no, so. I'm cheap as hell, so I make myself a good deal.
I'm gonna tell Melissa get me Don't Breathe 2 on 4K.
I can't believe you like that movie.
I loved it. And you know what? She took an edible before we put it on, and she was not having it, dude. She was having major issues watching that fucking movie.
I mean, it's, you know,
it's like very, like, it's a very intense, like, it's very, like, nonstop, you know? Like,
I mean, honestly, I just couldn't, I can't get past him trying to make us sympathize with him. So.
Did you watch it, Earl?
No, I like I said, I just can't. I can't get that because yeah, like the
it's
first.
It's even more insane than you think. You've yeah, seen it, right, Chris.
Yeah, like the whole start, like the whole concept of it. Like, well, one, if you've seen Don't Breathe, like you know who this dude is, and like that's gross to start with. But
they do
then,
say
like,
in the movie, like he does say, like, I've raped people, I've killed people. Like, he's
yeah,
like,
but like this whole thing starts off with him kidnapping. Fucking kid,
but they like they want to make sure you like the other or you hate the other people
more than
yeah, worse. They're and so much worse.
Your solution for that is absolutely
it's
fucking
bonkers.
Nuts.
Yep, it is bonkers. I will say that. Like at the end, you're like, all these people suck.
I thought, no joke, I thought it was a good like. Put that aside, I thought like the craftsmanship in the movie was, I was surprised how well it was made.
It's a well put together film. Yeah. I just wish it wasn't called Don't Breathe 2 and like, you know, it was just this because I think he gives a really good performance. He does in both movies. Yeah. But it's just like, and this is tied to such like, and I like Don't Breathe, but like it's just tied to such like an icky dude. Like,
I just thought because it wasn't Fede Alvarez, I thought it was just going to be some. I think it might be a first-time director, so I thought, oh, this is going to be like a total hack job, and it was not. Like, it's actually very good suspense sequences in it, but yeah, it's like up there for insane cinema this year for me. It's like right up there with Malignant in terms of like, what the fuck. All right.
The,
cool.
the twist there is so baddie.
yeah.
I mean, it's not Malignant level twist,
no,
but it is.
Like,
it is gross.
Okay.
And disgusting. Like, wow, they found a way to make these fuckers more vile.
They're really. This is what's happening. Okay.
Anyways. Yeah. Real quick, before we wrap this up and move on to waiting for Forza and GTA next week, Earl, you saw I bought some James Bond games.
Yeah.
Two, which seemed to, I mean, Nightfire seems to be a one that people really, really like. I've never played Everything or Nothing.
Oh, Everything or Nothing is my personal favorite Bond game.
Okay, and that's like a third person game.
Yeah, and that's part of it. Is like I, as much as I get that GoldenEye was popular, it's like I think Bond works better because I mean Bond isn't really all about the shooty shooty bang bang stuff. Like there's a lot of shooty shooty bang bang, but there's also a lot of like car chases and
yeah.
gadgets, and I think that comes off much better in Everything or Nothing. And I think to a lesser degree, from Russia with the Up because that follows a very similar mold. And then they try to do something like that with Bloodstone. Bloodstone's like 5 minutes long.
Oh, really? Because that was one I haven't played. So that was one I'm looking to get all the ones from like the like mid '90s, the like that era of games through what they've done. But yeah, Bloodstone, like, oh, this has Daniel Craig on it, on the cover of it. It looks pretty cool. Like, here, it's 5 minutes long. Like, it's not a cheap game to get, even used. But yeah, I was wondering about From Russia with Love. Like, is that another third person game or?
Yeah, it's a weird one because it's made in the window between when Pierce Brosnan had the effort before he cast Daniel Craig. So they actually get Sean Connery back for it. So it's like one of the few games he stars in, but it's very much in the mold of Everything or Nothing because it reviewed well and it sold well, I think. So yeah, I enjoyed both of those games.
And how was that other GoldenEye game, the one with
the bad guy? Okay. I've never played Rogue Agent. That's the one of the few I've not played. I do like the GoldenEye remake, or whatever you want to call it, because it's not like a remake, but...
Rogue Agent is bad.
Rogue Agent's bad. There's GoldenEye 007 Reloaded, which I think stars Daniel Craig, but it's like they redo GoldenEye.
What?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, what? But I heard it's actually pretty good. Earl, you said you liked that one, so...
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, and it's more... It's GoldenEye remade, but it's more like, okay, what if we followed more of the beats of the movie and modernized it, and not necessarily the game. The game is influenced by the movie, but the game does take some liberties as well with certain stuff.
I've evidently played that one, but I don't remember it at all, so I'm going to try and re-get that one and replay them. But all right, well, thank you. You are the Bond expert here, so... Just wondering on those. But we will be back next week. Forza, GTA, maybe some other stuff. We're getting up on, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. I have an idea for a new induction to the Hall of Fame for that. So I'll share that with you guys maybe next week. And
Fonz and Games next week. Thursday is also a holiday, at least for me.
Oh, the holiday for you?
Veterans Day? Yeah.
Oh, Veterans Day, even though we have a giant government contract, you would think.
I have Friday off too, and Monday. Really?
Wait, why?
Just because it's the end of the year and I need to use my time off.
Oh, okay. So you took it off versus have. Like, wait, why is Veterans Day a 5-day weekend now?
It is now, baby.
I got Veterans Day and the day before. So that's pretty cool.
My kids had off today for Diwali.
Nice.
Mine were off too, but they also, like, it's Diwali, but it's also like the end of the marking period when they normally. Anyway.
I wasn't off for Diwali. I'm not off for Veterans Day.
Chris gets like 2 days of PTO a year. Sad.
I get more than that for PTO, but
3 days.
Holidays are really shitty. I think we have 10 for the year.
We got the day after Thanksgiving this year. So
I have the whole week of Thanksgiving.
You know what? Nobody Jesus asked you, Christ. Tony. Tony's like, what's work? Why do I have to go?
I never have to go to work.
It was earlier in the year. They're like, if we hit a certain number with our vaccines, we will give everybody this entire week off.
You know, that's actually not a bad strategy.
Yes. Or
just to be a bit dick about it, everybody who's vaccinated gets the week off between Christmas and New Year's. Unvaccinated.
The thing that employers can give their employees, like the two things they can give them, is money and time. So that is what they're most appreciative of. Don't give me a pizza party because we reached like 70% vaccines. Like, give me time off.
$1,000.
No, I'm not joking, Jeff. Like, there are like, we're having a, we've ordered pizza for everybody, or we got food trucks out back, and everybody gets a ticket to get something from the food truck.
Great.
You know what I'd rather not have to do? Be here.
Right? Dude, fucking.
All right. GTA, 3 of them next week, and Forza Horizon 5 Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.